All right, so we'll say, first of all, our shiur this morning is sponsored by Mrs. Rose Morrison for the archetype of Minnie Morrison, and we hope that in the merit of the house of the Torah, Shama has an aliyah. All right, so we'll say, we left off yesterday, our last line of Chav Zayin Amud Beis. So if you remember again, the Gemara was discussing the Machlokes as to how to learn the Psukim regarding Maaser Sheni. I just remember again, the truth is, we got into our topic of the parak is what you can go ahead and use for your Erev Chatzeros, your Erev Tchumen, and your Shituf Muvos. The Gemara then got into a discussion about what items can be bought with Maos Maaser Sheni. And if you remember again, the Gemara had a machlokes as to how to darshan the pasuk by Maaser Sheni, if you darshan it a ribuy and a miut, or a klal uprat, and that ultimately goes ahead and yields a different result in terms of what's excluded from purchasing with Maos Maaser Sheni. So the Gemara says the following: Umim Amar Abaye, last line. Umim Amar Abaye, dogim gidule karka ninu. Did Abaye actually say that fish grow from the ground? Gidule karka. Now, when he's, I'm saying, let me. Gidule karka ultimately means sustained from the ground, and when it's sustained from the ground, then ultimately again it can be bought with Maos Maaser Sheni. Amar Abaye, but Abaye said, Achol putisa. If a person ate a putisa, Rashi says putisa is sheretz hamayim katan. So sheretz hamayim katan means a small aquatic sheretz. Sheretz is literally like a rodent, but in this case, it means a creepy crawly thing. So if you have a sheretz hamayim katan, if you eat this putisa, loke arba, you get four sets of malchus. Rashi points out that there are two sets of malchus because there are two general lavim. There are two general prohibitions for sheretz, for eating creepy crawly things, that's number one. And then there are also additional lavim for sheretz hamayim, for aquatic shratzim. Ach memala, if you eat an ant, lo kechamish, you get five sets of malchus. Sira, and again, so in addition, so for nemala, there's also an additional prohibition for ultimately a sheretz that crawls on the ground. Sira, if you eat a hornet, lo kechamish, you get six sets of malchus. So the Gemara says, "V'im isa putisa nami lokim yishum sharetz ha'shoritz al ha'aretz." Now, if you hold that fish really have the status of gidule karka, that they are nourished from the ground, then you should get an additional set of malchus when you eat the putisa for sharetz ha'shoritz al ha'aretz, for a sharetz that ultimately crawls on the earth. Elo amar Ravina, ofos ikla benayu. Stefan Ravina says, you're right. You know what the fundamental nafkamina between the two approaches is whether or not you can go ahead and use Maos Maaser Sheni to purchase ofos, to purchase birds. The man to Amar Primi Pri Ugidule Karka. So according to the man Domer who makes the limud that we saw say yesterday of Primi Pri, that in order for an item to be used, for Maaser Sheni money to be used for an item, has a Primi Pri. Primi Pri means what? It has to be born of something else. Vigidule karka, and it has to be nourished from the ground. Hani nami gidule karka ninu. So birds are also nourished from the ground, meaning often they'll eat from the ground. Leman damar vlad vlados haaretz. But according to Man Damar, who says that in order to purchase an item with Maos Maaser Sheni, it has to be one of the things that were what? That were originally created from the ground. Then hani ofos min harakak nivru. We know that ofos were not created from the earth, and ofos were not created from the water, but rather ofos were created from a mixture. Rakak literally means mud. The ofos were created. So therefore, again, in this case, then you would not be permitted to go ahead and use Maos Maaser Sheni to purchase ofos. Man de marbi ofos mai taime, uman de mamit ofos mai taime. So the one who comes to include ofos, that you could purchase ofos with Maos Maaser Sheni, what's his logic? And what's the logic of the one who excludes it? Man de marbi ofos, the one who says that you can purchase ofos, kasavar klala basra dafka. He says the second klal is the kibbutz, because you also remember we have three statements, three parts to the pasuk of Maaser Sheni, right? We have Torah says v'nasata v'kesaf b'chalasher ta'aveh nafshecha. So there is a general statement, whether you want to call it a ribui or a klal. Torah says you will go ahead and you will give the money for everything you want. And then it says an exclusionary statement, Babakar, Batson, Bayayin, Ubashechar, which again is a limiting statement with an ox, with sheep, with wine, with shechar. And then it says again, Ubecholasher Ta'av Tish'alcha Nafshecha, and whatever you want. So there's three statements. One is general, one is specific, and one is general. So the Gemara says, Man de Marbi Ofos, the one who says that you can go ahead and purchase Ofos with Ma'os Meister Sheni, Kasavar Klala Basra Dafka. He says that the second klal, that's the Iker klal. And therefore, Prat Uklal, Na'ase Klal Musaf Ala Prat. So therefore, we'll say the way we break apart the pasuk is we look at the prat, which is bakar tzod, and the last klal, and therefore pratu klal naase klal mosaf ala prat. The klal comes to include or comes to amplify the prat v'israbu luhu kol mili, and therefore it comes to include the fact that you could purchase all items with mos meister sheni. What about the first klal? V'ahani klal kama. And the first klal comes to actually limit that which you can purchase with Ma'os Meister Sheni to any item that is comparable to the prat in both ways. What does it mean, comparable to the prat in both ways? Meaning that it has to be pre-mi-pri u'gidule aretz. It has to be born of something else, and it has to be nourished from the ground. So again, according to this approach, the Maisa again, we put the emphasis on the middle prat and the last klal. Therefore, the last klal is coming to amplify the middle prat, and it comes to include all items that can be bought with Ma'os Meister Sheni. The first klal, in this case, then comes to limit a little bit more and say that, yes, it comes to include everything, but it only includes things that satisfy two criteria, which is number one, Vlad mi Vlad, it has to be a pre-mi-pri, it has to be born of something else, and, as opposed to, let's say, a mushroom, which is not born of something else, right? It has to be born of something else, and it has to be nourished from the ground. Fine. Umadim ma'idofos, the one who excludes birds from being purchased with Ma'os Meister Sheni, what does he hold? Kasavar klala kama dafka. He holds that the emphasis really should be placed on the first klal, and therefore klal uprat, and therefore really look at this pasuk as a klal and a prat. Ve'im bichlal elamash shebiprat. And therefore the klal only comes to include that which is in the prat. Hani'in, midi achrini lo. If that's the case, then it would only come to include bakar, son, yayin, and sheikhar. Therefore, va'ahani klala basra, the second klal comes along, lirebuye kol didomi le mishlosha tzodin, to include all of those things that are comparable to the prat from all three tzodin. No, all three tzadin means what? That it's pre-mi-pri, it's gidule karka, gidule karka, it's nourished on the ground, and vlad vlados. Vlad vlados means what? That it was one of the things that was created from the ground during the Shesh Simei Bereshis. And therefore, again, that would come to exclude birds, because birds were not created from the earth, but rather, as you just saw before, birds were created from the rakak, from the mud. So we'll say, what comes out is the following, that it seems to be, first of all, it's a fundamental machlokes in general, about how to darshan the pasuk of Meister Sheni. Do you darshan it as a klal uprat uklal, or a ribui miut ribui? And obviously, that creates two different sets of principles, in terms of how you understand what Ma'os Meister Sheni can be used for. That's number one. Number two, in terms of whether or not you could use Ma'os Meister Sheni to go ahead and purchase birds, also depends on how you dissect the pasuk. So the Ma'an Damu who says that you can use it to purchase birds will really put the emphasis on the middle prat and the last klal, whereas the Ma'an Damu who says that you cannot use it will put the emphasis on the first klal and the middle prat, and ultimately everything depends on how you understand that klal. What does that klal come to include? First, Ma'an Damu says it comes to include all things that satisfy two criteria. Vlad vlados, pre-mi-pri, it has to be born of something else and nourished from the ground, whereas, and therefore that would come to include birds. Whereas the second Ma'an Damu would say it has to satisfy three criteria. Pre-mi-pri, gidule karka, it has to be born of something else, it has to be nourished from the ground, and vlad vlados. And it has to be said it was originally created from the ground during the days of creation, in which case birds would be excluded. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Mishmei D'Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Mishmei D'Rav. So now we get back to Erev in a little bit. So the Gemara says, Ma'arvin Bepa'apuin. So now the Braisa comes along, Rav Yehuda comes along, and the name of Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, the name of Rav, about all these different things that you could use for an Eirin. So you can go ahead and you can make an Eirin b'pa'apuin. So Rashi says over here, pa'apuin is yurakos. Yurakos literally means a vegetable, but this is, must be some type of herb. So Rashi doesn't explain what it is. Okay, so pa'apuin is some type of herb. Chalgloges. Chalglogos. Chalglogos. Or chalaglogos. Let's go with chalaglogos. So chalaglogos is purslane. Purslane is an herb. That's the English. Okay. Ubigud gudonios. So good gudonios is coriander. Abalo bichozis, but you can't use chozis, is literally green grain. Green grain, which means, unripened grain. Velo bichofnios. Kofnios, we'll say, we will see, are non-maturing dates. Look at Rashi for just a moment over here. Kofnios, tomorim ra'os, bad dates, shilobishlo kol tzarchan, that have not fully ripened, so unripened dates. Ubegud gudonios, mima arvin. Now, is that true that you can make an air with coriander? V'hatanya, but we learn, good gudonios, mirube banim yochlu, chashuche banim lo yochlu. So first of all, the Braisa says that when it comes to coriander, only people with a lot of children should eat them, but those without children should not eat them. Rashi says, "Good gedonios, mema'aitin es hazera." Apparently, it decreases zera. It decreases semen, and therefore, again, it would cause a problem for, I don't know if it literally decreases sperm counts, whatever it decreases, but apparently, it creates a problem for having children. However, if the coriander became hard, then even someone who has a lot of children should not eat them also. Apparently, once the stalks themselves become hard, Rashi says, so apparently, once the stalk itself becomes hard, then it's detrimental for everyone. Tirgima, so also says the Gemara, therefore asks, how could it be that you would use this for Eruv if at the end of the day it's potentially detrimental for some people? To which the Gemara says, Tirgima ashelo hokshu lezera. So then the Gemara says, explain this as a case where the stalk itself has not yet hardened, and therefore if it hasn't yet hardened, umirubi banim, and therefore who are we talking about who could use the coriander? If somebody who has a lot of children, and the stalk has not yet hardened, could use it for the Eruv. The other possibility is, liolum mechashuche banim. No, even someone who does not have children could use coriander. Because after all, on both sides, it is usable for someone who does have children. After all, Milo Tnan, did we not learn? Ma'arvin l'nozir b'yayin, uli yisrael b'tshuva. Right, on both sides, did we not learn in the Mishnah that you can go ahead and make an Eruv for a nozir with wine, and you can make an Eruv for a yisrael with truma? Alma, afa gavdelo chazi lahai, chazi lahai. We'll say, what do we see from the Mishnah? We haven't explained these cases yet, but what appeared initially from the Mishnah is that Lameisa, as long as the food is edible by someone, that is a proper Eruv. Halchanami, therefore over here also by the coriander. Af agav delo chazi lahai, even though again the chashuche banim can't eat it, because the merube banim can eat it, that should be enough. Vibayisema, the other possibilities. Ki ka'amar Rav. When Rav said that you can go ahead and use the coriander for Eruv, behin dukuki madoi. He was talking about a type of coriander from Madai, from media, and therefore the Maisa, apparently that coriander was not harmful and anyone could eat it. Okay? Ubi chazis lo. Now I will say chazis is this green grain. So is that this unripened grain? Is that true that you can't use green grain for an Eruv? Vaha Amar Rabbi Huda Amar Rav, but Rabbi Huda is the name of Rav. Kashos, right? So kashos are both like are hops. Hops, the chazis, and amateur green grain, ma'arvin bahen, you can make an eruv with them. Umevarchin alein bari priyadama, and you make a bracha bari priyadama on them. So both say, so what do you see from here? That lemaisa, the green grain, is usable. Lo kasha, that's not a question. Ha mikame the asarav lebavel, ha lebasra the asarav lebavel. One statement, i.e., the statement that Rav said that you can't use the green grain for Eruv was made before he went to Bavel. Because apparently in Eretz Yisrael they didn't eat this. But then the second statement that you can go ahead and use the green grain for Eruv was after he went to Bavel. Also, why? Because apparently in Bavel, Rashi says over here, it's actually right after Rashi, Kashos, or Kishos, Rashi says, V'bavel ochlin chazis. In Bavel, they eat unmatured grain. Green grain. V'chi asa Rav l'bavel v'chaz da'achli v'hu amar ma'arvin u'me'ikara amar de'in ma'arvin. So when Rav comes to Bavel and he sees them eating this green grain, therefore he said, ah, l'mai says edible, and therefore it can be used for Eruv. To which the Gemara says, but one second. V'bavel hav yorub da'amo. Is Bavel the majority of the world? Those are the Gemara is asking over here, is who cares if they eat it in Bavel? Maybe Bavel is the outlier, and in reality green grain is not really edible, and therefore Lamaisa it shouldn't be usable for an Eruv. To which the Gemara says, and you will say, the Halacha works under the assumption that when creating norms, we follow majority practice. And we don't just look at individual practice. So it's nice in Bavel that they're eating green grain, but if in the rest of the world they don't eat green grain, then by definition that halachically that would be considered an inedible item, and therefore not be usable for Eruv. So why does Rav switch his position simply because of Bavel? V'hatanya, we learned, ha-pul, pul bosei are beans, v'ha-sa'ora barley, v'ha-tilsan, tilsan is fenugreek, she-zaran li-yarek. Well, this is an interesting case. She-zaran li-yarek means that you planted them for greens, meaning I will say your idea over here was to eat them, was to harvest them in before it matures. So you just want to use it for greens, but you don't need the mature plant. You don't need the mature plant. She's on the yerek, butla daito eitzel kol adam. So literally, the das of the individual is negated in front of the general, what's considered to be the general das. Lefichach, zoran chayiv, v'yarkon potter. Therefore, the Maaseh Rabbah says, only if these items mature and ultimately blossom into their finished product plant, that they're chayiv in Shumas and Maestros. But yarkon, if you use them as greens, potter, then lemaisa again, you're potter from any kind of chumos and maizros, Rashi says, the lav midihu, because it's not considered to be anything significant. Hashechalayim, shechalayim rabosai is cress, the hagargir. Gargir is what's called garden rocket. So garden rocket also sounds very exciting, but it's actually a flower. It's a flower type plant, okay, that was also consumed. So hashechalayim v'hagargir, shezaran liyarek, misashrin. Misashrin. So if you went ahead and you planted the gargir, right, for yarek, to use this as greens, then lemaisa said it's tithed even in that state. Yarak v'zaran zera l'zaran misashrin zera v'yarek. So we'll say similarly, if you went ahead and you planted, whether you planted it for yarek or whether you planted it for zera, it would be chayiv in meiser. So we'll say we see the gargir is a little bit different, because the gargir, people are eating both in its unmatured as well as its matured state. So the Gemara says, so we'll say, why are we bringing this down over here? Because what we're showing over here is that lemaisa, even if you plant something for a specific purpose, but if that is not the general usage of the item, we call it batla daito itzel ko adam. Your das is batel in front of the das of the, we'll call the general normative das. So therefore the Gemara is asking over here, is if people don't eat green grain, and above all, they're eating green grain, very nice to the Babylonians, but that doesn't make green grain into a real food item. And therefore what? And therefore it should not be usable for one's Eruv. To which the Gemara says, Kikam Rav, what was Rav talking about? When Rav said that you can go ahead and use it, when Rav said that you could use it for Eruv, what was he talking about? Bidigunu naisa. Rashi says bidigunu naisa. The chazis shegadol begina. The kuli alma achli. So apparently the garden variety of chazis, the garden variety of green grain, apparently was edible by everyone else. So there must be some kind of distinction between a garden variety versus a field variety. So the point is that he wasn't talking about green grain in general. He was talking about a very specific type of grain, and this type of grain, green grain, everybody would agree, is actually a food. Fine, so the Gemara says the following. Zara gargir, lemaichazi. So we'll say the Braisa said before that lemaisa, if you just go ahead and you plant this gargir, this garden rocket, even if you harvest it for greens, right, so before it fully matured, it's still chayiv in meiser. So the Gemara says, well, what lemaichazi, what is it usable for? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan said, shekein rishonim shalah hayalahen palpalin, shochakin oso, umatbilin bo esatzli. So Rabbi Yochanan says, interestingly enough, that lemaisa, those who did not have, the earlier ones who did not have papalim, did not have spices, what they would do is they would take this unmatured garden rocket, they would grind it up, and they would dip their roasted meat into it, so apparently it served as a condiment. Okay? Rabbi Zeira ki hava chalish megir say, when Rabbi Zeira used to get tired from his learning, hava azel bi Yosef apischa de Rabbi Yehuda bar Ami. He used to sit at the entranceway of the yeshiva of Rabbi Yehuda bar Ami. Amar, he said, kinafki va'ayli rabbanon, ekum mikamayu. When the rabbis come in and out of the building, I will stand up in front of them, ve'akabal behu igra, and I'll receive rewards. So this is actually quite interesting. So meaning Rabbi Zeira was tired. Now obviously, it's not just a physical exertion. He was mentally tired. He was learning a lot. He was mentally exhausted. So he needed some non-mental taxing time. So what would he do? He'd stand by the entrance of the seat, sit by the entrance of the base managers, and whenever the rabbonim would come in and out, he would stand up, so he was doing something productive. He was being mechabe Torah, but he was able to mentally unwind. Nafak, so what happened? Nafak, asa yinuke de beirav. So as he's sitting there, a young child who was learning Torah comes out. Amarle, my admarcha rabcha. What did your rabbi teach you? So the child said, Amarle, kishus hops, borei pri ha'adama. You say borei pri ha'adama on hops. Okay. Chuzis on green grain, shahako niye bidvaro. You say the bracha of shahako. Amarle, so Rabbi Zeira said, Adraba ibcha mistabra. The opposite would seem to be true. Hai me'ara kamerabe. The hai me'avir kamerabe. So interestingly enough, Rabbi Zeira wanted to suggest that in reality the hops should really be Prei Pri Adama, and the chazis should be Prei Pri Adama because the grain grows on the ground, and the hops should really be shahakol. So the Gemara says, v'hilchasa ki enuka de beirav. But the halacha in fact follows the child's, right? That the hops themselves, the hops are Prei Pri Adama, and the chazis, the green grain, is shahakol. Why? My taima, high gomer peri, v'hai lav gomer peri. Because again, the hops are a finished product. The hops are a finished product, and the green grain is not. So also a single beer, we saw this actually in Brachos, is that Lamaisa, the only thing to make a Prei Pri Adama sign that goes from the ground is really when it's in finished state. So the hops are in their finished state. The green is not. Therefore, anytime you eat something that is edible in its non-mature, non-primary fashion, it only gets a bracha of shahakol. So the Gemara says, Umay deka amret haime arakam rabbi, and that which Rabbi Zeira said that the hops grow from the ground, he said that's not totally true. Grow from the air. Vahaime avirakam rabbi, lohi, kshus nami me arakam rabbi. The hops also grow from the ground. The ha kachazinon, the katlina lele his masa, umaisi kishusa. Because you know what happens to when you cut down the bush that the hops grow, and you know what happens to the hops? The hops die. Which we seem to need. So we'll say the hop over here is that sometimes, look at the way I Wikipedia'd this yesterday. If you look at the way that hops grow, so the way it grows is, it looks like it's just a random growth on a particular branch. But in reality, it's actually being nourished from the roots of the bush itself. So that's what Rabbi Zeira originally thought, that it's more like a mushroom type thing, that because of things in the air ultimately sprouts up, Kamash Malon, no, it really does grow from the ground. Therefore, the Maisa, because the hops are a finished product and nurtured from the ground, it gets a very priyadama. But the green grain, although it grows from the ground, because it's not in its mature, fully edible state, only gets a shahakol. We'll say, obviously, if it was totally inedible, you wouldn't make a bracha at all. But it is edible, but it's therefore it gets a shahakol. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Gemara says, good. Ubekafnios ein marvin. Now, is that true that you can't go ahead and make an eruv with non-mature dates, right, on non-maturing dates? V'atanya, but we learn, kor nikach bekasef meiser. So it's an interesting case. So what's a kor? Kor is heart of palm. Heart of palm. Heart of palm, mamish, you know, kishmo kinu, right? They cut open the trunk of the palm tree. They remove the outer bark. They remove the outer fiber layers, and inside is the heart of palm. So kor nikach bekesef meiser. So heart of palm can be bought with meiser sheni money. The ein mitame tumas ochlin. Now, what's interesting is that part of palm apparently does not become tame tumas ochlin. Cannot contract food tuma. Why not? Look at Rashi. Ve'enu matame tumas ochlin. Ve'afidu chi sheva lav la'achilo. De'lav ochelhu. Because it's not considered to be food. Now, we'll have to see exactly what this means. Ve'kafnios, and non-maturing dates, nikkos be'kesef meiser, could also be bought with meiser sheni money. U'metamos tumas ochlin. But do become tame with tumas ochlin. Rabbi Huda Omer, kor harihu ke'etz dechol devarav. So really, heart of palm is treated like wood. Treated like wood. It's not even treated like fruit. It's treated like wood for all purposes. Ella shenikach bekesef meiser. But it happens to be that it could be bought. You could buy meiser. You could buy it with meiser sheni money. You could spend meiser sheni money on it. Or bekafnios harehein kipri lechol divrayim. Non-maturing dates are like fruits for all purposes. Ella shepturos mina meiser. Except that they are part from meiser. So I will say, here's what's interesting. So what do you see from here? Now remember, the heart of palm is not really our discussion right now. The idea over here that you see is that what the Bryce is pointing out is the following. The heart of palm itself can be bought with kesef meiser, but doesn't become tummy tumas ochlin. The reason for that is because, according to that first approach, since heart of palm, if left alone, will turn hard like wood, therefore it doesn't have the full status of food, and therefore cannot go ahead and become tummy tumas ochlin. Now, the point that we're focusing on over here is the kafnios. That kafnios lemaisa can be bought with money of maisa sheni, and do become tame tumas ochlin. And even according to Rabbi Huda holds that kafnios are pre lechol divrehem, but they have to be peturos mina maisa. So we'll say, what do you see from here? That kafnios, these non-maturing dates, are what? Are bona fide food. If they're bona fide food, then what? They should be usable for an eruv. To which the Gemara says, Hasam bidinischani. Bidinischani, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Hasam bidinischani. Rashi says, Dikolim zuchorin. We're talking about over here. So Hasam, Rashi says, over here in this Brisa. I mean, Hasam literally means over there. It means over here in the Brisa that we just quoted, that the non-maturing dates still become Tamei Tumas Ochlim. Bidinischani, Dikolim zuchorin. It's male palm trees. Sha'osin kofnios. That create these non-maturing dates, ve'enam na'asim tamarim li'olam. And I will say, the dates are never going to mature. This is interesting. The male palm tree produces dates that will never mature, will never grow up. Right? The female palm tree produces very mature dates. So Rashi points out over here, ve'kalam zecharim sha'osin kafnios, ve'enam na'asim tamarim li'olam. Now I will say, the chap is that the dates that come from the male palm, now, what's the between a male palm tree and a female palm tree? These are different types of palms. They call them male and female. They're different types of palms. So in the male palm tree, these kafnios, these non-mature dates, are never going to mature. Ainon nas in tomorrow, liolim. The kafnios hu gimar peiron. And therefore, again, this non-mature date is in fact what? Is in fact the finished product of this tree. And therefore, veloktim osam benisan, v'hano uchloninhu. So we'll say, in this case of the fruits from the male palm, the unripened dates for the male palm are in fact what? The ripened dates. They're not going to ripen anymore. This is the finished product of this tree. So because it's the finished product of this tree, therefore what? It has the status of ochel. It has the status of food. V'chi kamarav b'dekolim nekevos, shebekof yoshalam na'asen tamar, v'chachat lav gemar peru. So when Rav said before that you can't use kofnios, you can't use unripened dates for an eruv, what was he referring to? The unripened dates of a female palm. Why? Because the unripened dates of a female palm still have what? Still have more maturing to do and will still develop into a finished fruit. Therefore, according to Rav, you can't use that for an eruv. But lemaisa, the kafnios, the unripened dates from a male palm that will not mature anymore, this is the finished state, and therefore, again, as you saw in the price, they're subject to tumas ochlin, and by extension, you would be able to use those type of dates, in the eruv as well. To which the Gemara says, if that's the case, baha lema Rabbi Huda, peturos mina meiser. Right? If that's the case, then lemaiser Rabbi Huda should also say that they're pater from meiser. Rashi says, well, actually, we'll come at Rashi later. So, to which baha taya, but we learned, Amar Rabbi Huda, lo huskaru pagi besioni, ela le'inyan meiser bilvad. But yet Rabbi Huda said that the pagi, the unripened dates of besioni, this was a place, the unripened dates of Bisyoni were only mentioned in terms of Meiser. Look at Rashi. Lo hoskeru betosefta de shviyas hi umaisi begimar de psach and perak makum shenagu ochlim beteinim ad sheyichalu pagei Bisyoni. So Rabbi Huda says that lemaisa pagei Bisyoni were only mentioned regarding Meiser, to which the Gemara says pagei Bisyoni vaahini de tovina chayavin b'Meiser. And yet we learn that the unripened dates of Bisyoni and the Ahini are also unripened dates of Tovina, are Chayiv B'Meiser. So I will say, you see over here that even L'Meiser, the unripened dates, even from the female palm, are considered to be a full-fledged fruit. Ela Shain Ela Li'olam Lav B'Nischoni. Rather, it has to be, that what are we talking about over here? It must come out that we're talking about the Nischoni. Ule'inyan Tumas Ochlin Shaini. Right? But when it comes to Tumas Ochlin, the halacha is different. Kida Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hoil Veroi Lemiskan Ayedei Ha'or. Since Rabbi says some of these items can be what? Can be made sweeter through fire. Look at Rashi. V'yachol Lemaskan, Afa Pi Sha'asha Bekatnusan Marinhein. Even though Lemaisa, so Rabbi says, we're revising this. So now what we're saying is maybe Rabbi Huda is not talking about fruits from a male palm. Right? Maybe it doesn't have to be fruits from a male palm. If it's fruits from a female palm, then we just go back to what we said before, that lemaisa it has to be edible, and the fruits of the female palm still have more maturing to do, so why would they be subject to tumas ochlin? So, to which the Gemara says, maybe the difference over here is that even though they're unripened, they can be readied for consumption. How? By exposure to fire. I don't know what that means. Either you roast them, you excuse, right? Whatever you're doing, but if you put them over the fire, then lemaisa, that takes away the bitterness, amplifies the sweetness, and allows you to eat it. Hachanami soto over here, hoil v'yachol l'metakin ayidei ha'ar. Therefore, soto over here, since you're able to make it edible through fire, therefore it's subject to all of these other aspects of food. Now, what does it mean? Look at Rashi just a moment. So Rashi says, v'yachol l'miskan, afa pi sha'achsha b'katnus ha'marinim. Even though right now they're little and they're bitter, listen to this. So what the Gemara is going to suggest is the following. That maybe we have to split this up into three different ways. These unripened dates, even if they come from a female tree, so therefore they still have more maturing to do, the Maisa, they could be subject to the laws of Tumas Ochlin. Why? Because halacha lemaisa, they can be readied for consumption. Once an item can be readied for consumption, i.e. by putting it over the fire, then what? Then it has a status of ochel. Once it has a status of ochel, it's subject to the laws of tumas ochlin. On the other hand, it's not going to be subject to meiser. Why? Because it's not in its complete state. It also won't be usable for eruv. Why? Because for eruv, you need ready-to-eat food. And this item, although it can be readied through use of a fire, because it's not ready to eat, therefore lemaisa can't be used. So all the Gemara is just showing over Rabosai, again, without getting too carried away with all of this, all the Gemara is just trying to show us is the date case. Right? So you have the date case over here. So again, the easy way to understand the dates that can't be used is ultimately just saying that let me say it differently. The reason why this is consuming us to this degree is because we seem to have contradictory ideas when it comes to the unripened dates. On one hand, in certain respects, they're considered food, and in other respects, they're not considered food. To which the Gemara essentially says, you're right, because each of these different things has a different criteria. To be chayiv and meiser, it has to be a finished product. Are the unripened dates a finished product? No, unless they come from the male tree, which we're not talking about now. Therefore, not chayiv and meiser. To be usable for eruv, it has to be readily edible. Is the unripened date readily edible? No, therefore, can't be used for meiser. To be subject to tumas ochlin, you have to be able to be readied into an edible state. Is this easily readied into an edible state? And the answer is yes, and therefore it's subject to tumas ochlin. Fine. So the Gemara says, "Veheicha itmar Rabbi Yochanan." I'm sorry, "Veheicha itmar Rabbi Yochanan." Naha, this sanya, and Rabbi Yochanan's statement, as we'll see, was said about the following: this sanya, shkidim hamarim. If you have bitter almonds, so kitanim chayavin, small ones are chayavin meiser, gedolim p'turin, larger ones are not. Misukim, if they're sweet, gidolim chayavim, larger ones are chayiv, kitanim p'turim, smaller ones are potter. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, or Mishum Aviv, ze v'ze liftar. Both are potter. V'amri la, and others say, ze v'ze l'chiyuv. Amar Rabbi Loi, Hora Rabbi Chanina b'tzipuri k'divrei ha'omer zeh v'zeh liftor. So Rabbi Chanina said in Sipuri that the halacha seems to follow the one who says both are utter. Look at Rashi. Zeh v'zeh liftor. Marim, if they're bitter, bein gidolim bein kitanim. Gidolim delav ochla, kitanim delav peira. So we'll say apparently, so Rabbi Chanina said that the halacha really follows that if they're bitter, so really whether they're big almonds or small almonds, neither is going to be chayiv in meiser. The reason for that is because the gidolim ultimately are not considered to be food because they're bitter, and the ketanim are still immature, are still unmatured, and therefore again they're not considered a pri. Ulaman do amar zev v'zelechi of lemay chazi, and according to Mandarma who says that they're chayiv for both of them are chayiv in meiser. What are they usable for? Amar Rabbi Yochanan hovil v'roy lemitakin ayidei ha'or. Since you could ready these almonds for consumption by exposure to the fire. So since you could, by exposing it to the fire, you can make it readily edible. Therefore the maisa, it's considered to be food.
So that's the cancel we just learned.
I'm sorry?
That's the cancel we just learned.
Right. That's again, correct, it's a different shita. A different, not against, just another opinion. Just another opinion. Amar Mar, Rabbi Huda says, Kur, Hari who eats the Chol V'Rasu. We'll go back to Heart of Palm. Heart of palm is considered to be like wood, right? It's not considered to be an ochel. It's considered to be like wood for all purposes. Ella, the only difference is shenikach bekesef meiser. The only difference Rabbi says is that you can go ahead and you can use meiser sheni money to purchase it. So Rabbi says on one hand, it's not considered to be like food except legabe meiser sheni, that you can go ahead and use meiser sheni money to purchase it. So Rabbi says, this is the opinion of the Tanakama that we said before. Amar Abaye shalako v'tagno ika benayhu. The chilik between them would be in a case of where you boiled it or where you fried it. So Rashi says, what does that mean? Shlako mevushal harbe, boiling it. V'tigno b'shemen, means frying it. V'radi Yehuda afilu shalko v'tigno eno tamei, v'tanakama im shalko v'tigno metamei t'lo amri hari hukei. So Rabbi, listen to this. Certainly you have both Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama essentially saying that core heart of palm is treated like a tree. They both agree that's what, that you could use ma'os, ma'is, or sheni to purchase it. That's not such a chiddush. Reason for that is because right now, it's edible. Anything that's edible, according to this particular opinion, is going to be usable for money on ma'is or sheni. Aye, but they can't be making redundant statements, so what's the chilik? The chilik between the rabosai is what happens if you were to boil or to fry the heart of palm. In that case, also, what's going to happen? It's not going to turn as hard. It's not going to turn hard like wood if you subject it to that level of cooking. So apparently, Rashi says, according to Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda would still say it's still not tamei to mas ochlin. It still has the status of wood, therefore not subject to mas ochlin. According to Rabbi Huda, once you subject it to the significant cooking process, it is no longer like eight. It is no longer like wood. And actually would be subject to the laws of Tumas Ochlin. So the Gemara says, Maskef la Rava, mi'ika l'man d'amar shalko v'tigno lo. Is there anyone who holds that if you cook it or you fry it, that it wouldn't take on a status of food? After all, the Hatanya we learned, ha'ar, the hide of an animal, v'hashulya, shulya is a placenta of the animal, ein metamin Tumas Ochlin. But we'll say, under normal circumstances, these are not, the hide and the placenta are not considered like food items. And there, people don't normally eat it. And therefore, again, it's not tamei tumas ochlin. However, or sheshulku. But if you boil the hide, right? Boil the hide. If you boil that, apparently you make it edible. Or shilya shechishev ala. Or you have in mind that you're going to eat the placenta. In those cases, metamin tumas ochlin. That lemaisa, then it becomes tamei tumas ochlin. In Rabosai, again, if halacha lemaisa, a hide could be rendered edible through boiling, and a hide mamish is like totally. If that could be made edible ultimately through subjecting it to this cooking process, then all the more so what? All the more so the heart of palm as well. Ella amar Rava ika benayu. This is the chilik. This is machlokas in Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama. Bracha. What bracha do you make on it? So the Gemara says the itmar kar Rabbi Yehuda omer bray pri adama. Rabbi Yehuda says make a bray pri adama on it. Ushmuel amar shahakol nihiyah bidvaro. Shmuel says shahakol. Rabbi Huda Amar Bray Pri Adama. Rabbi Huda says why? Bray Pri Adama Uchluhu, because it's Uchel. Ushmuel Amar Shmuel says Shahakol Nihye Bidvaro. Shmuel says it's a Shahakol. Why? Kevan Shesofo Lahakshos Lo Mevarchin Ilaihu Bray Pri Adama. So Shmuel says that Lemaisa, because ultimately it's going to ultimately harden, therefore you can't say Bray Pri Adama, you can only say Shahakol. So Shmuel says, Rabbi Huda, what about Shilna Kavosek Mistabra? So Shmuel, interestingly enough, Shmuel says, Rabbi Huda, I think you're right. So Shmuel who said Shahakol ultimately gives in to Rabbi Huda, who says, I think you're right. The hot's known Shesofa, the Hakshos. Look at a radish. A radish, if you leave it alone, will totally harden. And yet, Umavarchinon Alei Brei Priyadama. And yet, to make a Brei Priyadama on it. So you see that even if something is going to harden, you still make a Brei Priyadama. And the Gemara says, but you know what? That's not a good comparison. Why? Snown, not the Inish Adaita, the Pugla. The difference with the radish is people eat it, people plant it for the purpose of eating Pugla, is like the bulb, right? People plant it for the purpose of eating that radish. And therefore, again, as long as you eat it before its hardened state, that was the purpose of the planting, therefore it's very priyadama. Dikla, when it comes to a palm tree, lo not the Inish Adaita, the Kura. People don't plant a palm tree for the sake of the heart of palm. People plant that palm tree for a whole variety of different reasons, but not for the heart of palm. But after God, the Khan says Shmuel Rabbi Huda, and even though Shmuel praised Rabbi Huda and said, Rabbi Huda, the halacha follows you, that in fact, heart of palm should be a Rei Priya Adama. Hilchosa Kavase de Shmuel. The halacha is like Shmuel, and that heart of palm will ultimately be a Shahako because of this reason that the palm tree itself was not planted for the purpose of the heart of palm. All right, suppose I will stop over here for today.